God. So last week we began looking at Daniel chapter 1. A wonderful, wonderful book, if you will, the book of Daniel, and it deals with how we ought to interact with the culture around us, how we ought to let our light shine even in the midst of adversity. And so in Daniel chapter 3, we find these words beginning at verse 1. Very familiar story for some. Beginning at verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to attend the dedication of the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces assembled for the dedication of the statue the king had set up. A herald loudly proclaimed, "People of every nation and language, you are commanded, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall face down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, verse 7, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and every kind of music, people of every nation and language fell down and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the people of God said, amen. I want to put a tag on this text and preach from the subject, it's okay to be different. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we are grateful, so grateful for today. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here on this beautiful summer Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for the heat. We thank you for the sun. We thank you for the weather. But, Lord, most importantly, we thank you for air conditioning. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, Lord. And we pray that on today you speak to each of us from the topic of being different. Father, I pray that we would understand our value as your chosen people. We'd understand our value as those redeemed. We'd understand our value as those being holy and set apart, distinct, different. And in Christ's name we pray. Let everyone say, amen. We're ready.
Do I really live according to what I believe? Do I live as if this life is merely a moment compared to forever? Am I more concerned with building my earthly mansion or my heavenly home? Do I live for the pleasures of this world or for the hope of heaven? Do I invest in more than just myself? Would I rather fit in with society than stand out for my beliefs? Do I live as if worldly success is worthless in the sight of eternity? Will I find favor in God's sight, or will I fall short? Do I truly believe that Jesus died for me and that his blood paid the price for me? Do I really live according to what I believe, or is it just an idea that comforts me?
Somebody say amen. Amen. Even the videos are shorter in the summertime. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay to be different. Sister Joyce Wilson, I called your name. We are praising God for your presence. You look beautiful as ever. Give God a hand of praise for his healing power. For his healing power. Amen. Our message moment for today says such. Thank you so much, ushers. It says, despite the pressure of our culture to conform, to mold, to be like, in all things, God wants us to be different, and it's okay. As a matter of fact, if you want to post today, I want you to use hashtag be different or hashtag it's okay. But y'all, it's okay to be different. All of my life, I have struggled, like many of you, with trying to fit in. And one of the things I discovered when I stopped trying to fit in and simply stood in who God had created, saved, and called me to be, I discover I was more attractive to the people I was trying to fit in with. See, the more we conform, the more we edit who God has saved us to be. The more we try to be like everybody else, the more we overlook and negate our uniqueness. God has not created all of us to be alike, especially for the believer who operates and resides in a fallen world. There are enough individuals who are conforming to the world, and the Lord is looking for a few of us who are willing to be set apart and not the same. Romans, the 12th chapter, says, don't be conformed to the world. So if we would stop trying to fit in, Stephen Brown, and simply try to stand up, watch this, we will have a better witness for our Lord. And so I'm just challenging you, even in this opening statement, that it's okay to be different. I know that your coworkers and classmates and neighbors, they live their lives perhaps a different way. And it's okay for you not to live like them. Y'all help me preach this. Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay. Men, it's okay to love your wife and serve your families. Wives, it's okay to love your husbands and take care of your home. Singles, it's okay to preserve yourself until God sends you your soulmate. Listen, it's okay to be different. So we don't have to do things the way the world has stamped, okay, we get to determine scripturally what is and is not okay. And so we make our way into the book of Daniel again. On last week, we left off with Daniel and his crew receiving acknowledgement and promotions. And this is based upon their adherence to their dietary discipline. Now, their dietary disciplines in Daniel chapter 1, submitted to the power of God, caused these four young men to be noticed. And as a consequence, by the time we finish chapter 1, they have been elevated, they have been promoted. See, here is the word for young people. You do what God has called you to do, and you allow Him to make the promotion. Oh, that's a word for somebody up in here. Y'all, we are jockeying and fighting and clawing and grasping, and we're overlooking the fact that God is the God of promotion. And if Stephen Brown would simply submit and surrender to God's will for his life, you'll discover, Stephen Brown, that favor can't be stolen. It can only be given by God. So everybody wants a little favor in their lives. I know I do. I need favor. As a matter of fact, I can't get along without the favor of God. But He dispenses His favor based upon His own convictions and desires. So in chapter 2 of Daniel, we discover that Daniel steps in with the power of God to interpret a dream of the same king, Nebuchadnezzar. And as a result, he saves the lives of all of these magicians and prophets and priests. See, Daniel was the only one who could interpret and identify King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. That's Daniel chapter 2. And it's amazing why Daniel stood in to minister and to make a difference, the same ones that he helped to save are trying to destroy him in Daniel chapter 3. Y'all help me preach this. See, I need you to understand that Daniel and his crew were under attack. Why? Because they were different. So then, it's okay. It's okay to be different. See, right now you're wrestling. Man, I don't know, Pastor Brown, because if I'm different, it's going to cause people to notice. Man, I just want to blend in. I don't want anyone to take notice. Y'all, you can't suppress the light that is on the inside of you. You can't suppress the anointing, the power of God that is on the inside of you. So stop trying. Just walk in it and allow the Lord to do what only he can do. So it's okay to be different. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 19, that is confirmed. It says, the king interviewed them, those young men. Among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they began to attend to the king. Verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and mediums in his entire kingdom. So these young men had what it took to be representatives for the kingdom of God, even in the midst of pagan land. They were in this pagan land. They were held captive, but yet they were still rising to the top. Why? Because it's okay to be different. So as we make our way to today's text, where the first thing, get ready to write, we have a command with consequences. We have a command with consequences. If you would, verses 4 through 6, I'll try to read these expeditiously. A herald loudly proclaimed, verse 4, people of every nation and language, you are commanded. Somebody say commanded. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say commanded. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall face down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There's a command. That command has some consequences if not obeyed. And what I discover here is that the people were ordered to submit once they heard the sound. See, I've taught this many times before, that worship is submission. That's what it is. So when you worship the Lord with music or without, you are submitting yourself to the glory, presence, and power of God. If you are to look up the root of worship, it literally means to submit, to get up under. And so what Nebuchadnezzar was creating in this dedication service was a mock worship service. Y'all, it wasn't real. It was a mockery of what the Lord God himself had established. That's why he tried to infuse music with this dedication ceremony. Young people, the Lord is still using music as a way to distract and to take away from what he's trying to do in our lives. So King Nebuchadnezzar was ordering the people to worship this obelisk, this statue. Now, we don't know exactly what it looked like, but in its description, we can tell how tall it was and what it was made of, at the very least, the overlay. And some suggest that it was actually a statue of King Nebuchadnezzar himself. So this is the world's philosophy. If you don't act, think, or believe like us, then we will harm you. Oh, y'all got to help me here this morning. See, this is not just for the young folk. This is for the young and the not so young. If you don't act, think, and believe like us, then we'll harm you. We'll give you this harsh treatment because you won't do the things that we do. If you don't bow as we have commanded, we're going to burn your reputation up. We're going to blast you all over society's page. We're going to make a mockery of this thing called the church. Y'all, this is why the church is caving in so many areas. Just giving in because they don't want to be burned up. So this command with consequences, it goes forward. And then verse 7, it says, therefore, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and every kind of music, people of every nation and language fell down and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You have a command with consequences, but then secondly, you have community cooperation. You have community cooperation. The text says, all bowed. Y'all, I've been there. And you've been there. You've been in a situation where, listen, everybody was literally doing it. Whatever it is. Y'all help me up in here. I'm trying not to be too specific. But everybody was doing it. And it would almost seem ridiculous for you not to do it when everybody else. Oh, y'all too holy for me. Y'all gonna leave me hanging like that, huh? There ought to be a few of y'all who can testify. Pastor Brown, I ain't gonna lie. I thought I was strong till I got in the midst. But then all of a sudden, I found myself partaking in that I would previously have shunned. And so what happens here is, y'all, we have a situation where people will conform out of fear and out of peer pressure. Y'all, don't you know somebody that bowed really didn't want to bow? But just because everybody was, all right, I may as well bow since y'all bowing in. If y'all going to bow, all right. Are we done? Are we still? Okay, we still bow. Okay, well, y'all let me know when you finish. I'll be down here taking a nap. And y'all, that's what happens now. See, people function out of fear. And they also function out of societal peer pressure. I'll never forget. I saw this story one time. This story, it was talking about societal intoxication. Oh, God. It was a wonderful kind of documentary where, watch this, they served non-alcoholic beer to a group of college students. Non-alcoholic beer. And here's what they discovered. The behavior for this case study with the non-alcoholic beer was the same behavior as the college students who actually received alcoholic beer. But because they were together, because everybody was doing it, because they were drinking what they thought was alcohol, they acted like they were drunk. Oh, you help me preach this up in here. And what happens to some of us is because everybody's doing it, we find ourselves taking a sip. So we do things out of peer pressure, out of societal pressure. When we know God has commanded something different. But what happens here is, the text says, all the people. So we have the command with consequences. We have community cooperation. But then thirdly, we have charges against the crew. Charges against the crew. What do you mean charges against the crew? Yeah. All bowed, but they did not bow. Y'all, they made a choice to be different. And that's what I want to challenge everyone under the sound of my voice. And when you spend time reading this passage and having this discussion with the young men and women in your home and in your family, is we got to choose to be different. Look at verse 8. Some Chaldeans took this occasion to come forward and maliciously accuse the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, may the king live forever. You as king have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music must fall down and worship the gold statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are some Jews, watch this, you have appointed. Did y'all catch the little shade there? These are your boys. They're a part of your administration. you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Now, I mentioned earlier in Daniel chapter 2, it was Daniel who stood in for the very ones who are now accusing his homies. Y'all, there is no loyalty. Watch this. There is no loyalty in the world. See, this is why Zeke ain't showed up to training camp. There is no loyalty. And I ain't mad at Zeke. Oh, I wish I could preach a little Zeke sermon in the sermon. See, Zeke knows that there is a time limit to his effectiveness. So Zeke say, if I'm going to kill myself for y'all, y'all going to pay me now. You're not going to pay me later. Because if you use me up now, I can't command the money. I need a witness up in here. That ain't sermon. That's just me. But watch this. The world is not loyal. But yet we're loyal to the world. The world is your friend as long as you co-sign with her sin. But the minute you say there may be another way, not in a condemning way, not in a judgmental way, but that there could be another way, watch this. You better watch out because the world is coming after you. How tragic it is that a season before, their lives were up for destruction. Daniel steps in, used of God, interprets the dream. And even tells him what his dream was. And everyone's life is spared. But now, verse 8, the same ones. I need y'all to see the world ain't loyal. I'm going to say that one more time. The world ain't loyal. That's why I try to teach my son, even my daughter, everybody ain't your friend, bro. See, some of y'all are 30, 40, 50 like me. You just finding that out. Because you thought because we worked together, we had lunch together, we at the office party together, that, yeah, we tight, we cool. Well, the minute you disagree and prove to be different, that's when you discover y'all ain't friends. Y'all, we're so afraid of being different. So in situations like this, no crime is greater than nonconformity. So these brothers refuse to conform. They refuse to bow. They refuse to fit in. But this is exactly what God has asked of us when he tells us to navigate the world with which we live. So watch this. Their charges against the crew. They did not bow. Now, there was no confusion. They understood the edict. They understood the command. So this was not them processing. Maybe they didn't think they needed to bow until after the music was played. No, they understood. And they saw the corporate response. They saw everybody bowing. But yet, thirdly, they could not compromise their convictions. So they understood what was taking place. They were not confused, but they could not compromise. Hear this. The Lord is seeking a few of us to simply go against the culture as a silent witness. See, these three men were not even vocal. They just chose to be different. Watch this. Not obnoxious. Not a Bible thumper. Not even judgmental. Just different. Oh, beloved, are you willing to be different? Are you willing to go against the culture to reveal who you are with? I've mentioned before, when I got out of college, there was a job that was offered to me. Won't even mention the company, but it was a job that was offered to me, made a whole lot of money. And it was right along my personality makeup. But that job would require me to tell young people a lie about premarital sex. I was fresh out of college. The one car I had, Deacon Ward, was up for repossession. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Amen. That transition from getting the car, getting out of college, not having a job, or they was coming to get, I had to hide that car over 3 or 4 friends' houses. But that's another sermon. Catch me if you can. All right. And I paid them. I paid it off. It just took me a little longer. But the point is, I needed a job, and this was a fantastic job. I could travel the country being a spokesperson for this organization. 99.9% of what they stood for, I was all in with them. In this one area, I specifically asked, now, do I have to say it that way? And they say, yes, that's the only way you can say it. And I turned the job down. My friends called me a fool. You just, something wrong with you, man. You got to learn how to work the system. But I could not compromise my convictions. And look at me now. I ain't miss no meals. Amen. I get a chance to hang out with wonderful people like you. But I'm here to let you know, listen. When the charges come against you, just stand still. I didn't try to defend myself. I didn't try to make myself look better than I really was. I just stood on my convictions. Here it is. Remember this from last week. You don't have to be loud. You just have to be lit. Oh, y'all help me preach this. Oh, God. So then we have the command with consequences. We have cooperation with the community. And then, well, watch this. We have charges against the crew. They did not bow. So then and now, the Lord is seeking a few faithful believers who are willing to go against the culture and to stand. So then what happened, Pastor Brown? Well, first of all, there is a confrontation. Get that down. There is the confrontation. Verses 13, after the king has been informed, says, then in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can, I feel like shouting right now. Who is the God who can rescue you from my power? The confrontation. Choosing to be different will draw attention. You got to be ready, y'all. Look at me. You got to know that there's going to be some confrontation. And see, this is why we conform, because I don't want confrontation. I don't want nobody getting upset with me. I don't want to fall out with my quote-unquote friends. I'm just going to bow. It's too much trouble to stand. I'm just going to bow. Excuse me, I'm just going to bow. And as you bow, you allow the world to see fear, to see a lack of trust in God for what he can do for you. See, although the world knows about your faith, they really don't respect your God. See, this is the tough talk that we need in this day and age. They don't respect your God. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 27, here's what Daniel said. Here's what the king said. Daniel answered the king, no wise man, medium, magician, or diviner, or diviner is able to make known the king to the king the mystery he has asked about. He says in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, Daniel to the king, and he has let King Nebuchadnezzar know what will happen in the last days. Verse 47, then the king said to Daniel, your God is indeed God of gods, Lord of lords, a revealer of mysteries, since you were able to reveal the mystery. King Nebuchadnezzar has already declared who God is. He knows who God is, but by the time we get to chapter 3, we are affirmed that he doesn't respect our God. I need you to understand that, child of God, that oftentimes you're dealing with people who really don't respect your faith or your God. And I say that to say, if they already don't respect it, why do we keep conforming to them? Why do we keep giving in? When do the people of God stand up and say, you know what? There's a different way to look at this. There's something else that we need to consider scripturally. And as I align my life with scripture, this is what it reveals. So there's a distinction in the text between conforming and not conforming. Those who conform, they're free and clear. Those who don't conform, they're facing fire. What do you do, beloved, when you're confronted about your faith? What do you say? How do you respond? See, we got to prepare our young people in this dispensation, in this generation, how to respond biblically, consistently. But notice in the text, the king gives them another chance to conform. So he's basically asking them, are you sure you want to be different? Oh, God, that's the question. Are you sure, Stephen Brown, you don't want to buy? I know when I first gave the command, it says immediately, but I'm going to give you another chance just to make sure. We have the confrontation. We're almost finished. Now we have the declaration. Get that down, the declaration. The declaration. Verse 16 is powerful, 16 and 17, 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. I need y'all to catch that. I don't have to respond to your questions, bro. We want to go on record. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up. A young man skyrocketed to internet fame and social media prominence when he was accosted verbally at his place of work. And the person who accosted him came into him. He says, ma'am, I can't help you. It's above me now. And what these young men were declaring to King Nebuchadnezzar, king, you know what? We're not going to go back and forth. It's above me now. And what they're declaring is, the God that we serve is able. But watch this. But even if he doesn't, oh, let me help. See, our God can, but he doesn't have to. Oh, y'all missed that. Our God can, but he does not have to. Essentially, they expected no preferential treatment or deliverance from God. Watch this. They knew that God can, and that's all they needed. God. See, there will still be no bowing, O King. So we stand before you now, and listen, if the God that we serve shows up or not, we still ain't bowing. And I'm here to let you know, child of God, we need some even if he doesn't faith up in this place. Oh, y'all help me preach this. Will you be faithful even if you don't get the job? Oh, God. Will you be faithful even if you lose your job? Will you be faithful even if God doesn't show up in the manner that you need him to? My mama told me he may not come when you want him. Hey! But he's always on time. I gotta finish it. We have the confrontation. We have the declaration. Somebody say, it's above me now. I need you to have that posture when it comes to people confronting you. It's above me now. I'm not gonna go back and forth. The God I serve is gonna handle it. Now I need you to understand something about rage and anger. In this text, we see rage and anger from King Nebuchadnezzar. Rage and anger leads to a lack of reason and responsibility. Because what's happening here in verse 20, it said he got his best soldiers. And he led his best soldiers to death. See, that's when you know your rage has gotten the best of you. He got his best soldier to bound up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had the furnace heated up 7 times hotter. And as they got ready to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, the very men who threw them in themselves died. Look at verse 22. It says, the raging flame killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, when you're filled with rage, you lose your sense of reason. Now, I don't know who that is for, but I know that if we don't allow the Lord to dictate our emotions, our anger, we're going to find ourselves living like King Nebuchadnezzar. Let me go back and look at my notes here. I done got my mind and got me all. We have the confrontation. We have the declaration. But then finally, I'm finished. We have the salvation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We have the salvation. I'm going to read this and shout by myself. Look at your text. Look at verse 24. It says, watch this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped in alarm. He said to his advisors, didn't we throw men bound into the fire? Yes, of course, your majesty, they replied to the king. He exclaimed, look, I see 4 men not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire. And he called, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out. Oh, I need a witness right there. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around, they saw that the fire, oh my God, had no effect on the body. So y'all missed your shout right there. Not a hair of their head was singed. Their robes were unaffected. And there was no smell of fire on the men of God. Somebody say the salvation. God gets in the fire to demonstrate his power to protect. See, we don't know if it was an angel of the Lord or if it was a pre-incarnate Christ. But all we know is this. God didn't get them out the fire. God got in the fire. Is there a witness in the house that can testify? God may not get me out, but every now and then, he'll get in with me. He'll get in a fire. He'll protect myself. He'll preserve my life. And when I come out, I won't even smell like I've been in the fire. Give your neighbor a high five and say, it's okay to be different. Say, it's okay to be different. Moses was different. He was raised in the backside of a mountain. He was given a word from the Lord. And even though he couldn't talk, the Lord used him anyhow. But not just Moses. Abraham was different. Abraham was an old man pushing a baby carriage because he had a baby in his old age. David was different. David didn't look like everybody else. He was messed up from the flow up. He fell forward, but God still used him. John the Baptist was different. He dressed different. He ate different. He talked different. But God used him anyway. But that's not all. My Jesus was different. Born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, went on to do miracles. Hail Hosanna. Crucified on Friday. Put him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Is there a witness in the house? It's okay to be different. It's okay to be different. Wave your hand and make a declaration. I'm different. I'm different. I'm different. Hey! Come on, bless the Lord up in here. Come on, put those hands together. Come on, bless him like you mean it. Bless him like you love him. Bless him because you're different. Come on. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him. God, we thank you for being different. And Lord, we know that the attacks will come when we refuse to bow, when we refuse to give in, when we live according to the standard that Scripture has given. Lord, it's going to get tough out here. Because if we're honest, Father, we've been bowing. We've been giving in. We try to create this picture of what Christianity looks like, and it's just not biblical. So, Father, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we cannot sin and win at the same time. So, Father, help us to stop conforming. Give us courage and strength to be different. Father, help us going forward as we prepare our young people. Help us, Lord God, to be the example before our offspring, before the children of this church, before the children of our community. Father, I pray for men and women to rise up to the standard that you have given to us, honoring you in our homes, being a witness on our jobs without being obnoxious. Father, help us just to let our light shine and allow you to do the rest. Father, I stand confessing as well. There have been moments when, Lord, I have refused to stand. And, Father, I pray that you would grant me courage, conviction, power, and authority to be a bold witness for you. I pray that for all of us. And, Father, we ask it in faith, in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen.